Yo, what's up? It's Ortiz once again, back here with the Vulcanite Radio podcast, here on Vulcanite Radio. I'm Ortiz once again, and we're breaking down tracks from the Green Seed, except I'm going to break down a different set of songs this time. I'm going to break down a set of songs that I'm really, really kind of proud of. The 7-inch that we put out on Communicating Vessels was our very first offering with Communicating Vessels. And I think the reason why I'm proudest of these two tracks is because they both have videos. Now, of course, one didn't get a video till a couple years ago, but the fact that they both have videos for this 7-inch that first came out on Communicating Vessels, it's just a happy, proud moment for me. And being in a band, being in a group, I know it was probably a little hard for those guys to, you know, want to be in video, especially the Crack Kills video, because we're going to talk briefly about the Crack Kills video. To want to be in a video and be enthusiastic about a song and a video where the video they were in, but the song didn't have, they weren't in the song. And so for those guys to still be enthusiastic about it, even in the midst of something that they, you know, I mean, technically, you know, they just weren't on. I mean, they not only did they not, you know, produce the track or anything, but they didn't have any parts on the track. And it's the track that, if I was honest, that's the track that got us the look from Jeffrey in the first place. Our video was doing the circuit, so to speak. And it was mainly doing the circuit just because the guys that produced the video, Sugartooth, big up to Sugartooth, and now Justin Gar, of course, he's off doing his own thing. He's out, you know, doing something separate from Sugartooth. But Sugartooth was the group of guys that got together to shoot this video. And it was doing the circuit, the media circuit, you know, because they had entered it into... it entered into competitions, short video competitions and things, and it just so happens that it was in a competition or in Mississippi that at the same video that Jeffrey Kane had a video, a Dead Snares video, that was also up for an award and was in a film festival and that sort of thing. And it's one of the things that helped us get some buzz going, you know, along with Lobotomix and along with a lot of the other stuff that was just going on around us. And when you think about it, that video was born out of a person being at one of the Lobotomix shows. It was at Speakeasy. Robert was, who's kind of the head of Sugartooth, was at that show, and I performed this song, the Crack Kills, the first song on the 7-inch. And shortly after I got off stage, you know, because it was a pretty packed night. I don't know if this was the Jurassic Fight. I don't know if this was the night that Akil was there. That might have been a separate night, but it's a good crowd, and Robert came up to me afterwards and was like, hey, I love that song. I think that song would be great video, blah, 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 blah. Now, I can say this in all honesty. At that point, I had heard that 100 times from 100 different, maybe 100's a little stretch. I'd heard it at least 15 times where some quote-unquote videographer, you know, video maker, came up talking about how great a song was, and it didn't even have to be that song. It could be any song we've ever done. And they come up and they say, oh man, that's a great song, man. I'd love to do a video for it. Well, you know, you exchange numbers or you give them your number. I don't even think most of the time I didn't even exchange it. You give them your number. And you don't hear back. Or when you do hear back, it's always some, you know, well, what's your budget? You know, well, how much money you got to spend? And it's just like, you bleep holes do understand that if we don't sell records, we don't have any money to pay you with. And a video is really just a long commercial. Right? And so, if you guys don't, if you don't make a fire video that is going to garner attention, so much attention, in fact, that they purchase the music, then this video doesn't mean anything. I mean, it doesn't mean anything to me, you know, or to the people. And so, when he did that, you know, I mean, I have to be honest, I really did have some reservations. I was like, yeah, man, yeah, cool, just holler back at me later, you know. Because you'd, up until that point, I'd heard it a thousand times. I really had heard it a thousand times. Well, there I am again, hyperbole. No, 15 times, at least 15 times. And so, he does eventually get back with us, and, you know, at that point, now I'm starting to believe it a little because he took time to meet me and to kind of outline some stuff. I mean, he had done some storyboarding and, you know, you could already tell he had done some work. He'd already been, he and his, they're married now, but he and his wife, Masha, had, you know, had, they had, I mean, they had put together some great ideas. Justin Garr had put some ideas together and those guys were being serious. I mean, they were, you could tell they were really being serious. They really wanted to pull this off, and they really wanted to pull it off in a high-tech kind of way. They weren't trying to shortchange it. They wanted to do green screen. They wanted to do some set stuff. And, I mean, I'm going to be honest. We hadn't signed with Comvest yet or anything. So, I mean, as they were pitching all this stuff, you know, I mean, I really was in my head. I was thinking, how much is this going to cost? But at the, on the other side of it, I was thinking, okay, I made this song that you want to make a video out of. So this is going, this is really going to kind of, it really needs to be more of a, you know, kind of a partnership. But they never did ask us for any money, which I, you know, I felt like, you know, long term, it was really something that, you know, I always valued. I still value that video today just because, you know, of what it cost us. And it didn't cost us anything. To know that the most high-tech video, the most well-known video we've ever had, didn't cost us anything. In terms of money. Now, it probably cost us a little bit in terms of friendship because, you know, after we did get signed to Comvest and he came along, he wanted to do a video, you know, it's like we had a little falling out because I felt like we were, you know, we were going to make sure he got paid, but, you know, I felt like we were about to get shafted on it. But, you know, that, I mean, that's another conversation for another day because, you know, this video really did just do a lot for us. And, you know, to say that it didn't would just be malarkey. And to say that it was a, you know, a group song would also be malarkey. But when I was approached about how we were going to do it, I wanted it to be the Green Seed because we, at that point, we were a group. That song was an individual song, and yeah, that was the song that had gotten the attention, but, you know, the 7-inch, you know, it needed to say the Green Seed because that's what we were going to be going forward with Comvest. We were going to be the Green Seed. We weren't going to be Artiste in the Green Seed. We were going to be the Green Seed. And so, of course, if you've ever heard that song, you know, that song is, It's a paranoia song, really. It's a person who is finally recognizing what the TV. I mean, because I watch a lot of TV, and I mean, I still watch TV. I just don't watch as much as I used to. And I used to watch a whole lot of TV. And what as I started to get serious about music, I started to recognize that, okay, Unless I'm going to be a television producer or a writer or a movie or a movie actor or a key grip or a production assistant, or if I'm going to, if, unless I'm going to actually be something in movies or television, I don't need to be consuming this much television and movies. it just does not make any bleeping sense to spend that much time absorbing something that you're never going to act, you, that you don't aspire to be. And I didn't aspire to be on television. I was just consuming television just for the sake of consuming television. And this was my wake-up call. This was me saying, no, I want to be committed to music, not movies and television. And I'm about to expose what the TV is and what I feel like the TV is to me. Now, whether people, felt the same way or not, that's up to them. But apparently people did feel the same way about it. People felt that way about it. I felt like there's a lot of irony in the fact that I'm saying my television's trying to kill me, and it ended up actually on television. On MTV2. Well, not two. Was it two? Yeah, maybe it was two. I can't remember. We lost that competition. It was on MTV2. It was like, it was up against all these other videos, and we ended up losing that competition, so it didn't go into major rotation. But it was just the irony in my television is trying to kill me, and it's on a television. You can't make this stuff up, right? You can't make this stuff up. And of course, it lost, and it lost to some kid out of Michigan. I think his name was Rubber Band Randy or Rubber Band Man or something. I can't remember. But we ended up getting into like all these little fights online. We were trying to win the video or whatever. But it, you know, anyway, that's all water under the bridge. Just a moment in time when we thought that this video was getting that much run that it was going to be on. It was going to get some regular rotation on MTV. Two or MTV or whatever. But I love the song. I've always loved the song. I don't perform the song that much anymore. That sample is from Teddy Pendergrass, a Teddy Pendergrass sample. And I love that sample. I flipped it in a way that I've never heard it flipped before. And it's probably my greatest moment because, like I said, my greatest moment, not a group greatest moment, but my greatest. I think the group's greatest moment was, for me, probably, if I had to say, our group's greatest moment was us being in Spin Magazine and, well, not the magazine, but online, Spin Online, and having that Spin, logo up above. That was huge for us, but as an individual, this was my greatest moment because it's a song that I wrote. It was a song that I produced. It garnered this attention. It was one of the catalysts for getting us where we are on Comvest and everything else. So, but when you start looking at the sales part of it, that's where all of this goes awry. You can have a great video. You can have something that everybody videos everybody's talking about, but the video ain't the product. And the music is the product. So if the music ain't selling, then I don't know how video makers and videographers or whatever the hell you want to call them, I don't know how they feel like they're going to continue to be able to, music videos just may be a thing of the past for an artist that is, up and coming or, hasn't made, and, because on some level, it probably should be a thing of the past, even for the major artist. Because I know it's a write-off, but man, that money could go so many other places that would be so much more important than a freaking video. Other advertising, it could go to other advertising and it would work so much, it would be so much more efficient, especially in a world today where we live, where people hardly even got time for 22 minutes of a television show on Netflix. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, I know I don't. I have to make time. I had to make time the other night. I realized I had missed 3 weeks of watching Atlanta on FX. I had missed 3 straight weeks. And this show is only 22 minutes. And most of the reason why is because, yeah, I'm always working on the stuff that is important. Because I'm not in movie and television. If I am in movie and television, I'm in movie and television. I'm in the music side of movie and television. I'm not in the visual part of movie and television. You know. I mean, I've had a couple tracks that have been on in the movie. Adderall Diaries and Ray Donovan on Showtime. But that's what side I'm on. I'm not on the... I just can't consume all that stuff. I got to be making music and writing lyrics and stuff. You know, all that sitting around just aimlessly looking at a television, absorbing all this stuff, it's just moronic for me. It's completely moronic for me. Now, for anybody else can do whatever they want, but for me, it's just idiotic. It just doesn't make any sense. So let's talk about the other song on this 7-inch. The other song is Preservation. It also has a video. This video was made... Well, let's talk about the song first. The song was made on my kitchen... I was sitting at my kitchen table, and I had a Delicate Cutters CD sitting there on the table. I'd been listening to it, and it was over on the table. And I was sitting there with my MPC in the kitchen, just working through some stuff. I had just gotten it. I mean, I probably hadn't had it a month yet, and I just decided, you know what? I'm gonna just sample something off this Delicate Cutters record. You know, because Janet Simpson Templin is just one of my favorite singers. One of my favorite, like, not local singers, just one of my favorite singers. Period. And I put the connected it to the MPC and sampled some stuff in and made this song that I always loved. I never performed it live. It would be cool to perform it live with Janet. That would be cool. Janet, if you're listening, let's make that happen. But the song is an introspective song. It's a song just... I don't want to say I was, I mean, because I'm not one of these people that gets depressed. I'm just not. I mean, I might have a low moment, but it's not, it wouldn't be clinically called depression. It's just like you're just having a rough day or something, you know. But that's what this song is, just kind of just like, it's a release. It's a release of talking about how the past used to be and how things are now, and how I've changed, you know, and how it kind of like a metaphor for how when the rain comes, things change, you know, the atmosphere changes, you know, if it's a warm front and rain comes, that means there's a cold front behind it, and vice versa. When the rain comes, the grass grows, or, you know, the streams move, or, you know, it's just about the idea of change, and so it's really just me just being introspective and trying to rhyme stuff, you know? Like, sometimes that's the way we are. Some MCs are more depressed than others. some MCs spend more time, you know, talking about their feelings and talking about how, you know, but, I mean, I can talk about my feelings, but it won't be because I've had just this horrible life and I just need to, you know, talk about all my feelings all the time. I haven't had a horrible life. I've had a very blessed life. God has blessed me a lot. And so even when I've had low points, low moments, you know, it's like I get them, I talk about them, and I get over them and move on, you know. I mean, it's no point in just dwelling on it. And I'm just saying for me, you know. Other people may have clinical depression and that sort of thing. I'm not saying that's, you know, you do whatever medical professionals and whatever people tell you to do. I'm talking about myself when I say that. There's no point in me dwelling on it. And so lastly, the video for this song was something that was never intended to happen, but it's proof that God exists, and it's proof that sometimes you don't have the power that you think you have. And sometimes things are just meant. God is just trying to do something. He wants something done, and there's nothing you can do about it. When one afternoon at Comvest, I guess Rebecca got an email. Rebecca Fox worked at Comvest. Got an email or something, you know, about, hey, do you know any of your bands that would like to do this music scramble? Like, you know, Sidewalk Film Festival has this scramble thing that they do, and sometimes they do music videos or whatever. And so Rebecca just kind of signs us and Shahid up, and I don't know who else was on that. Maybe G, I don't know. But anyway, gets us signed up, kind of gets everybody excited that we're signed up, and, you know. But I was not happy. Like, I did not want to do this thing. I did not want to do it because I was in the middle of trying to, at the beginning of trying to work on the new Green Seed record. You know, I had a bunch of irons in the fire. I was still trying to do Vulcan Night Radio, the podcast with Complete. I was trying to, you know, I just really, really, really had a whole bunch of stuff going on at the time. And it was just like, I did not want to do this. But being that, you know, sometimes God's spirit takes over me sometimes. Sometimes I can be a bit of a bleep hole. And other times I can just be very calming and cooling. And that was one of those moments where God was just like, hey, man, just go do it. So I got there with a bleeping attitude. I ain't gonna lie. I mean, I was there with an attitude. I was just like at the meeting. I was just like, oh, man, what are we doing here? You know, it's like, oh. So meet these guys. You know, they draw the names or whatever. And immediately these guys rubbed me the wrong way. I'm talking about instantly rubbed me the wrong way because I just felt like they assumed that we were just a bunch of amateurs, like super amateurs. And we weren't. I mean, we had already, by that time, Got You was already made, which was a high dollar, high production value video. We already had Jude Law, Chris Dahl had done with just wonderful animation and put together so well. I mean, of course, we had Crack Kills. You know, we already had top level videos already. So, you know, I felt like I came into this thing where I had some experience with some stuff that maybe these guys didn't have any experience with. So, of course, and shout out to JN and those guys, man, at Morgan Grace, because, you know, we ended up getting along pretty cool, and we're still trying to work out some stuff, trying to get some video stuff done through them. But everything worked out, and it was cool. But in the beginning, they were showing me all these videos. And, of course, they were like these old flossy videos, you know what I'm saying, with the guy standing in front of a car. And, you know, he doing old money phone and throwing money. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I clearly didn't want that for this song. And I chose this song mainly because at that time, man, everybody in Green Seed was super busy, man. FX... Jeff C. I had called Jeff C. to try to see if Jeff C. could come and do it. And, you know, he had some stuff going on. He was doing something else. You know, he couldn't make it that night for the first meeting. And Complete, you know, Complete always got irons in the fire, always working, always got something going on. So at that time, I didn't feel like it was right to be pulling everybody into this thing because I felt like we had already been signed up. You know, just signed up for something that, you know, that really deep down, I know I didn't want to do. But who knows whether they wanted to do it or not. So I just decided, I was like, bump it. We got this other single on Preservation, on the 7-inch of, that's Preservation. The least I'll need to get together for this song would be Janet. You know, She'd be the only person I'd have to maybe try to corral. And then if I couldn't corral her, you know what I'm saying, we'd figure it out. So I picked Preservation as a song instead of picking one of the other Green Sea songs. And then I just didn't know how this was going to work out. Like, I didn't want to give these guys a Comvest track to do a video, because what if it was messed up? What if it was going to be hard to get Jeff C and Complete and FX all together? Because, hell, I remember what Got You was like. Got You had been done already, and trying to get all these people together at once and trying to get them scheduled to be where they needed to be, man, it was a bleeping nightmare. So I had already lived through that. You know, with all these contentious arguments with people on the video shoot, and, you know, everybody's got a bleeping attitude about stuff, and everybody's on edge, and everybody's getting paid for the thing but us. You know what I'm saying? So it was just like, this is one of those situations. I didn't want to be here. I need to make this as easy as possible. I ain't calling nobody else. We're going to pick this Preservation song. It's done, period, point blank. And, man, these guys did a great job on this video. They did such a great job on this video that it won the bleeping thing. It won the award for the best video at the Sidewalk Film Festival, the Scramble. I mean, because what, as I continued to work with these guys, I started to recognize, is like, yeah, they've got some real, like, they're doing some DIY kind of stuff. Like, you know, you could tell, like, they had built some of the equipment they were using, and they had done some real, like, some real shooting, some real cinematography. And, man, by the time this video was over, man, they had shot some wild cinescapes and some wild just angles and performance video. I mean, they really put this thing together well. And I was pleasantly surprised. I was had inserted both feet in my freaking mouth. I had no business being having reservations about it, because these guys were pros. Like, I eventually found out these guys were pros. Like, these dudes had been shooting television TV commercials and a bunch of other stuff. And insert both size 10s in mouth, because before this thing was over, that video was put together. Now, the funniest thing about this whole thing was that these guys got into the guys in the video shoot got into an argument, and I think it was the seminal moment where it was just like, okay, let's go hurry up and finish this thing. It's a good thing that this thing is, you know, just, you have to shoot over a course of 2 or 3 days. Good job, this thing is over with. Let's move on. Because by the time it was over, these guys were, you know. And I guess it's just natural in television and video shooting and production, video production, all that stuff, that this kind of stuff happens, because, like I said, the same thing happened. It Got You. You know, the higher the level, it seems like everybody's on edge. Everybody's irritated. I guess everybody hadn't had any sleep. Everybody's worried about time frames and all that kind of stuff. But even more reason. For videos to not have the power that they have over music anymore. The music is the product. You know, and even more reason for me to separate myself from movies and television. Good God, just imagine if Got You was shot over the course of probably 5 days, and by the end, by Sunday, you know, Duquette Johnston and I were getting into it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I guess he was the production manager or whatever. He and I were having an argument in the middle of a store that we were shooting in, that we had been waiting all week to shoot in. Yeah, I mean, you follow what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it was just like, why would I want to spend a bunch of time in that environment? You know, it's bad enough trying to work with musicians, you know, that have attitudes and stuff. I mean, so why would I want to go shoot on a music video shoot all the bleeping time? I mean, it just makes no sense. To me, it makes no sense. I know other people disagree with me wholeheartedly, but, man, that whole video, TV stuff, unless you're the guy in control, unless you're the guy cutting the checks and the guy behind the camera, unless you're that guy, unless you're the head dude in charge, man, bump that. They can keep that stuff, man. You can keep it. You can keep all of it. So, pleasantly surprised. Thank you, Rebecca Fox. I didn't want to do it in the beginning, but it was just one of those God moments, man. It was just, this was meant to happen. You're supposed to be working with these guys, and you're supposed to get another pro video for the other song on the 7-inch. So both songs on the Comvest 7-inch both have great videos attached to them with great shots, and I feel like the songs are good, average to good, and I think it works, you know? Now, who knows what happens on the sales side of things, but just imagine if you had paid $10,000 for $10,000 each, okay? And so that's $20,000. That means you got to sell $20,000 worth of these things. I mean, you know what I'm saying? For to justify it, I mean, completely. And so, you know, I'm at a crossroads with the whole video thing, man, and the whole, like, marketing, and I'm at a complete crossroads. I think it's all ridiculous. I think it's not worth it, and I know the videographers right now are pissed with me saying this, but you guys better just go on and move on to Netflix and movies and shorts and that sort of thing. Go look for financing that way to get your ideas done. You better go get the financing, because I feel like the indie musician, I think we're all getting ready to jump ship on the video idea. The big guys, hey, they can do that stuff because they're gonna sell enough records to pay for it. But the indie musician, man, I think the video for the indie musician has jumped the shark. Like, seriously jumped the shark. So you guys better start figuring out some new ways to get your stuff funded, because I think it's just dumb, period. So, okay, I think that's it. That's the 7-inch series. And that actually talked about the videos and the songs. And just go check the songs and the videos out. Buy one so that we can pay for our video if we want to, or if we want to pay for marketing so that we can grow. That's how this works. And so when the people closest to you, you put out new music, and the people closest to you don't want to spend a dollar to fund you being able to continue on this quest, so that make sure that when they do spend a dollar on you, that you use that money wisely, because you never know the next time that money's gonna be available, and be appreciative of the people that give you that money to get in that position. And, you know, you have to slowly build your repertoire. And so, you know, to go from charging little to nothing for a video, and then you buy one camera, and then you decide you want to start charging $20,000. Now, that, you know, come on, man, you gotta ease into that. So this is Ortiz from the Green Seed. Still, we're just talking about all the stuff from the Green Seed. Just going to talk about all of it. Just try to get all of it out before our new record comes out, just so that if you want to know about us, you just come to this podcast, Vocal Night Radio Podcast, and find out everything, all the little details that maybe you missed. So, this is Ortiz signing off, Vocal Night Radio Podcast. We'll see you next time. Peace.